Here's Check on Stories we're following for you on Robinhood Radio. In a story that was broken by Jenna Carlesso in the Connecticut Mirror yesterday afternoon, nursing home leaders have outlined several facilities in the state of Connecticut where people who have contacted the coronavirus could go. Nursing home leaders have proposed at least 9 facilities where residents who have tested positive for COVID-19 could be moved to avoid spreading the disease to the rest of the population. Athena Healthcare System, the parent company of Evergreen Healthcare Center, where 3 residents died of a coronavirus and several others contracted the disease, has offered 2 buildings that could be designated for COVID-19 positive residents. One of those buildings is Evergreen. The other one, Sharon Healthcare Center, where at least 1 resident has tested positive for COVID-19. Athena has 54 nursing homes, assisted living facilities, home care agencies across Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. If you have any questions or concerns, the number to call is 860-424-5200. The numbers from yesterday of COVID-19 infections in our tri-state area: Falls Village had none, North Canaan none, Norfolk 1, Sharon 3, Salisbury 3, Kent 5, and Cornwall 1. Those were of yesterday evening. Now, in Dutchess County, Tivoli had less than 5, Rhinebeck less than 5, Pine Plains less than 5, Stanford less than 5, Clinton less than 5, Pleasant Valley less than 5, Washington less than 5, Dover 7, Pawling Village less than 5, Amenia less than 5, Northeast less than 5, Unionvale with 9. Columbia County had 41 positive cases of COVID-19. 6 of those positive cases are hospitalized. 4 are in ICU. Connecticut Comptroller Kevin Lembo projects fiscal year 2020 deficit right now of $170 million, although the ongoing and rapidly changing conditions will demand close monitoring and scrutiny in the coming weeks and months. The Connecticut Lottery has announced the first case of COVID-19. Beginning on Thursday, April 2nd, the lottery will begin temporary operations out of its backup facility. The employee who tested positive had been self-isolating at home and absent from the facility for more than 2 weeks. And the State Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection reduced the number of visitors that can be at state parks. The DEEP said violators of the order could face fines and/or charges or possibly even be arrested. Here's a nice story out of our tri-state region. More than 125 people have volunteered to help produce and distribute reusable cotton face masks to help protect healthcare workers and other vital service providers against transmission of the virus that causes COVID-19. Although the cotton face masks are not 100% effective against the virus, the community came together to provide essential workers with what the CDC is calling a last resort option. There are 2 core groups doing the sewing, one in Kent, organized by Jane Zatlin and her longtime quilting group, and one in Lakeville, organized by sisters Courtney and Ashley Marchand, who own Lakeville Interiors. Those groups are now supported by volunteers that include people who can't sew, but who deliver materials and finish masks, prepare fabric for sewing, donate supplies, and spread the word. In just 1 week, they delivered more than 750 masks. A list of some of the organizations that have supported: Sharon Healthcare Center, Yale University Hospital, Charlotte Hungerford Hospital, California Nurses, Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association, Waterbury Hospital, McCall Center for Behavioral Health, Doctor's Offices, Noble Horizons, Waterbury Visiting Nursings, Gear Village Senior Living Nurses Association, the Torrington Soup Kitchen, St. Francis Hospital, Northwestern Connecticut Transit District, NYU Hospital, Dr. Kelly's Office, Tennessee Nurses, Dr. Manzoni's Office, River Glen Healthcare of Sharon OBGYN Southbury, Davis IGA Watertown, and Gluten-Free Oasis. Out of Great Barrington, 3 tenants were displaced by an early Tuesday fire after the structure fire damaged their home in Great Barrington. No one was injured in that fire. Damage was estimated to be about $40,000 and was contained to the kitchen and bedroom. The cause was determined to be from old framing in contact with the fireplace chimney. Occupants had made other lodging arrangements and were referred to the Red Cross for additional assistance. Great Barrington responded with 3 engines, a ladder, a rescue, and 15 firefighters. An engine from Sheffield Sheffield, and tankers from Sheffield, Egremont, and Monterey, and a rapid intervention team from Lennox provided mutual aid. Barrington and Sheffield Police and Southern Berkshire Ambulance also assisted. A 52-year-old Dutchess County man passed away on Tuesday, the fourth coronavirus-related death in Dutchess County. A county medical examiner announced the man was taken to Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie with shortness of breath last week, testing positive for the COVID-19 virus. In Albany, school board elections and votes on districts' budgets have been delayed until at least June 1st because of the spread of the coronavirus. The vote was scheduled for May 19th. Governor Cuomo included in an executive order late Monday the postponement of the school budget votes for roughly 700 districts in the state, as well as the vote on school board members. The order did not say when the vote will be held, only after June 1st, and, quote, subject to further directives as to the timing, location, or manner of voting for such elections, end quote. Families out of work and struggling to make ends meet, food supply has been an all-time low in many households. Local food bank stock is at a minimum and needs replenishing to help combat those issues. Le Bon's is offering a new Roundup program to their shoppers. Here's how it works out. At your checkout, customers will be asked if they want to round up their total to the nearest dollar. 100% of those proceeds will then be donated to local food banks. For example, if your total was $25.70, you would have the option of rounding up to $26 or whatever amount you wanted to round up to. The donations will be sent to local food banks that are most in need. Ned Lamont and other leaders announced a 90-day grace period for mortgage payments for people impacted by the coronavirus in Connecticut. He said his administration has reached an agreement with over 50 credit unions and banks in the state to offer relief to the state's residents and businesses who continue to face hardship caused by COVID-19. Under the agreement, the following relief policies are being offered by participating financial institutions: a 90-day grace period for all mortgage payments. Participating financial institutions offering mortgage payment forbearances of up to 90 days, which will allow homeowners to reduce or delay monthly mortgage payments. In addition, the institutions will provide a streamlined process for requesting forbearance for COVID-19 related reasons, supported with available documentation. Confirm approval and terms of forbearance program and provide the opportunity to extend forbearance agreements if faced with continued hardship resulting from COVID-19. Relief from fees and charges for 90 days. For at least 90 days, participating financial institutions will waive or refund mortgage-related late fees and other fees, including early CD withdrawals. No new foreclosures for 60 days. Financial institutions will not start any foreclosure sales or evictions. No credit score changes for accessing relief. For those taking advantage of the COVID-19 related relief, late or missed payments will not be shared with credit reporting agencies. A story out of the Republican American by Lynn Worthington. The town has a new emergency management director following the resignation of both the director and deputy. Susie Rundle, who has served as director since 2016, resigned Friday, along with Deputy John Grant. Quote, this decision was made due to the communication and power role of the first selectman, Gene Speck, end quote, from Rundle. That's what she wrote in her resignation statement. Grant had no comment on his resignation. Speck said Tuesday she appointed David Becker of Fairfield to serve as the new director. He helped the town during the 2018 ice jam emergency in his role as the Connecticut West Incident Management Team, and Speck knows him through her previous job working for the State Department of Public Health. Ruth Epstein reports in the Republican American, with the advent of distance learning due to the coronavirus, the issue of teachers' contracts in Region 1 has arisen. The superintendent, Pamela Vogel, will continue talks with various unions working on agreements. Distance learning began soon after the schools were shuttered. On March 16th, teachers were at their respective schools being instructed how to conduct online lessons with their students from their homes. During a meeting of the all-boards chair committee held via Zoom last week, Vogel told members there was no memorandum of understanding for dealing with the distance learning. She said she met with union presidents twice and there was agreement on just about everything until the topic of distance learning was broached. Vogel said Craig Muser, attorney for the local elementary schools, said he didn't think an amendment to the memorandum was necessary because things were changing so rapidly, but Vogel shared her proposed additions as well as those from the union presidents with the committee. Vogel
said she thought one memorandum for all seven schools would be best. She said all the schools could sign off on a common one. The school boards also would like to need to approve the agreement. Quote, at this meeting, I'd like to iron things out and get your go-ahead, end quote, Vogel told committee members, who are the chairman of the seven boards of education. A sticking point was March 16th, when teachers were at their schools, but students were not. Vogel said, that should be considered a student day, not a professional development day, because teachers were being prepared for instituting distance learning. Therefore, June 16th should be a professional development day. Quote, we need that day to regroup, end quote, Vogel said. I want to replace the March 16th with June 16th as a professional development day. Teachers don't think we should do that, end quote. Vogel said she may originally have said March 16th was a professional development day, but has changed her mind because everything has changed with the closing of schools. Patricia McCare of Falls Village said, quoting here, you told teachers it was a professional development day. Maybe you should keep your word, end quote. Vogel responded by saying, quote, I feel strongly June 16th should be professional day, end quote. She said if March 16th is considered a professional day, they would have to add another student day. The 100-day requirement has been lifted, but I want to adhere to it, Vogel said, adding teachers want to shorten the school year by one day. The Stock Market Report on Robinhood Radio, underwritten by Morgan's Grill at the Interlaken. You'll find them on Facebook. You'll find the Interlaken at interlakeninn.com and by Salisbury Bank and Trust, salisburybank.org. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down by 973 points, 20,943.51 yesterday. The NASDAQ starts off today at 7360.58 and the S&P 500 at 2470.50. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.